One more time, I want to thank all of you who've come today to say thank you to these veterans that stood up, these that represent the 1%. Can you imagine what Veterans Day will be in the future when only less than 1% of America will ever wear a uniform? But if you sleep well tonight, you owe them a vote of thanks, because right now, while you're sitting here in the comfort of this sanctuary, there are many, many, many of them out there in very difficult places under difficult circumstances. 1% protecting the rest of us. Have you ever thought of this? That only two men have ever been willing to die for you? Only two men have ever been willing to die for you. Jesus Christ and the American GI. Those guys that stood up this morning are part of those that were willing to die for you, for us. So if you served on active duty or in the reserves or in the guard or any of those positions, you put yourself in a position to give your life for your country. Maybe you never went overseas. Doesn't matter. Once you put on that uniform and you've raised your right hand, you go where Uncle Sam sends you. So if you didn't go in a difficult situation, you were still available and you could have gone. So we say thank you. We say thank you. You know, it's hard for me. It's hard for me to separate in my life, in my heart, the difference between love of God and love of country. Now, that blows the minds of the liberals of our world. But to me, patriotism and love of God are almost on the same page, or the same page. I can't separate it. As a matter of fact, I don't want to separate it. I am patriotic without apology. I have no apology to make to anyone for being patriotic. So I want to tell you four things that I believe. And I believe I speak for most of those men that stood up this morning. I think that I speak for most of them. I will not watch an athletic event where the participants refuse to stand when that flag is marched out, or put their hand over the heart when we say Pledge of Allegiance. Thank you. My tongue is preceding my brain this morning. I will not pay to see those people play. And more than that, I will not buy the products that buy the commercials so they can do that on television. Now, a lot of petitions went around. I did not sign one because I don't have to. I wasn't going to do it anyway. Asking America not to watch the national football games today. If you watch those football games today, you're watching people play that refuse to stand up for your nation and your flag. I don't buy their products. I don't buy their products. I believe with all of my heart that Sergeant Bergdahl should have been shot as soon as that court-martial was over. And I would have helped pull the trigger. Anyone that will walk away, desert his companions in a combat situation, doesn't deserve to live in this country. And if they pay him that $400,000 that he's asking for, it's going to be a blight on the name of America forever. You pay a criminal, you pay a person that turned his back on the country. He let men harm themselves. Some of them will never be right again because they were out there searching for him. I think he should have been shot. And for the troubled people that say they can't live in America under a president that's been duly elected by the laws of the land, I want to give my month's salary to get them out of this country. Now, I have something to add to that. Not only do I want them out, I want them to go to Russia or Iran or Saudi Arabia or Afghanistan or North Korea or China or some other place and take up their residence and see how they're treated there. I want them gone. And finally, for those frail college students that had to have hot chocolate, color books, counseling, and futons to lay on after the tests were canceled because a patriot had spoke at their college, I hope all of them flunk out and quit wasting our money. I want them gone. I've worn a uniform 2 times in our country, then it adds up to 30 years. I'd still be wearing it if I hadn't hit very close to the retirement time, mandatory retirement. I'd still do it. I'd love to be on the ship today at sea. I'd love to be with a Marine unit wherever they are. I'd like to be out there. But you know, the government comes to a point that just says, you're too old, you got to go home. So I'm too old and I came home. But I'm still proud to have served. I'm proud to have been an American. Listen, the Bible says, blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen for his own inheritance. And that's you, and there's someone out there right now protecting you. Thomas Paine, one of the founding fathers of America, the man that wrote the great book, Common Sense, on freedom, he was an atheist. I have to say that for him. But Thomas Paine says, those who expect to reap the blessings of freedom must undergo the fatigue of supporting it. What is he saying? Freedom ain't free. It is not free. All of those vets that stood this morning have borne some of that burden. Some of that burden that he's talking about. You know the loneliness of being 1,000 or 10,000 miles away from home while your family has its reunion, while your spouse has a birthday, while your children graduate from high school, while the good things happen and you're thousands of miles away from home. You know what that feeling is, don't you guys? You know what it's like. You know the loneliness of spending your parents' anniversary or the parents' birthdays. You are a long way away. You may be surrounded by hundreds of other military men and women, but you don't know loneliness till you've been there. Loneliness so that you would cry, if you could, for being so far away. Paine says, if you want to be free, you have to know the fatigue of supporting it. Somebody has to fight so we can be free. Someone has to fight so we can be free. So I want to thank you for paying the price so my children could grow up in a free country. I want to thank you for paying the price so I could preach in a Bible-believing Baptist church every Sunday without fear that someone's going to come in and arrest me. Now, someone may try to come in and kill us, but no one's going to try to come in and arrest us in America because we've been willing to fight for our freedom, and I thank you for it. But you know something? Let me tell you something. While some of you fellows win a war, our soon-to-be President Clinton dodged a draft and went to England and stayed till the draft was over. And while he was there, Muhammad Ali, the world's champion boxing, world's heavyweight boxing champion, was under arrest because he refused to serve. And Jane Fonda went to North Vietnam and was pictured sitting on an anti-aircraft gun pointed at the American bombers that came over. That's America. Clinton went on to be president. Jane Fonda became the toast of Hollywood. I don't vote for them either. My friend, a traitor is a traitor is a traitor, wherever they are, wherever they are. So God bless all of you who stood those lonely watches, those long 4-hour watches. Or maybe you were sitting in a wet foxhole staring off into the darkness praying they wouldn't come your way. Or maybe you were somewhere else, my friend, in the service of our country. You were not only heroes to your family, you were heroes to all of us. Somebody had to pay the price. Someone had to pay the price. Someone is paying the price right now. Right now. You go down to the VA. Go to the VA clinic in Tallahassee and see that group of old men and now some old women whose lives were shattered and they're trying to keep them together with a promise that was made to them. Every guy in here heard that promise made to them that you would have life health care. They don't. You get on the list. And you've seen what happened. There was a 3-year waiting list in the VA clinic, and I think it was 3 years in Phoenix. Now, they fired some of those people. They fired, but see, the people that are offering the services there have not paid the price, so it doesn't matter to them. It doesn't matter to them. See, these older guys in here, they need VA treatment. They need VA care. But they have to do it through Medicare, pick up the slack. Every one of us guys, and you know the truth, I'm telling you the truth, every one of us was told when we went in the military we'd have life medical care if we stayed long enough to retire. That's just one of the lies. But it's a debt we owe. It's a debt we owe, my friend. It's a debt we owe. The psalmist said, the Lord is the strength of his people. He is a saving refuge of his anointed. Oh, save your people and bless your heritage. Be their shepherd and carry them forever. Now, November the 11th is Veterans Day. That's the day that we honor and recognize everyone's worn the uniform. Now, Memorial Day is different. Memorial Day is a day that we honor those who paid the price by giving their lives for their country. So don't separate them. I mean, you separate them in your mind. Don't let them mix in your mind. What we'll do honoring today are those who looked into the darkness from those foxholes, filled sandbags. I remember one day a man saying, and he must have been at least an E3 with 12 months in, and he said, I'm not going to fill sandbags. And the gunnery sergeant he told that to said, look over there, and there was a colonel over there filling sandbags. He filled them not only that day, but the next 3 days in a row. Some of you held those that were dying, cried with those that were dying, tried to help those that were wounded, and counted the days until it was over. Counted the days to the go-home day. But folks, more and more of our freedoms are slipping away from us. They're slipping away from us. We're moving away from what our founding fathers intended. Political correctness is now the law of the land. It's the law of the land. Hate speech now has been identified as anything against what the liberals want. Let me give you an example. About a month ago, there was a city hall meeting in Flint, Michigan. Y'all familiar with Flint? They're the ones that had the water was so bad, it smelled so bad, they didn't even want it in the house and you couldn't drink it. They had a city commission meeting, and some people showed up to ask the mayor of Flint what she had done with all the money that had been sent to Flint from the government for help. When they stood up to try to speak, six of them were arrested. Their homes were searched. The computers were taken, and they were physically threatened by the police, not legally threatened. They were physically threatened by the police of what was going to happen to them if they ever showed up again and opened their mouth. See, they were not politically correct. If you want your child, your grandchild, to know something about creation in today's world, you better take them to church. Because if they go to the major universities of our land, it will not be completely, they will never hear the word creation mentioned. It will never be mentioned. As a matter of fact, evolution and global warming have come to be thought about as such a fact that there's an attempt to make opponents of it guilty of hate speech. You think I'm wrong? Read your paper. Read your paper. I get the Wall Street Journal every day down at the college, And in there's attempts to stop people even saying, I don't believe in global warming. Or I don't believe in the story of creation, and they want that to be a hate speech. That's America. That's America, my friend. You know what our Declaration of Independence says? We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and they are endowed by their who? They're who? Do you know that our former president never used that term each time he read the preambles to the Declaration of Independence on each 4th of July? He would not use that word. He skipped it. He skipped it. He also, for 8 years, never used the word radical Muslim terrorist. He wouldn't use it. Now, he was supposed to be a constitutional lawyer. He's supposed to have taught constitutional law. but he would not use the word by their creator when he read the preamble to our Declaration of Independence. Our Second Amendment is just like that statement. It is in grave danger. I know most of you are gun owners, but I want you to know if something doesn't happen in America, there's going to be an attempt to take your guns. See, they've already done it in Australia. They've asked them to voluntarily turn in their guns, and they got truckloads of them turned in. Now, I don't know about you, but when they get mine, you have attended my funeral. Veterans, let me tell you something. Your country needs you. I know most of us are too old to get back in uniform, but your country needs you desperately. We need you desperately. We have to do something. Now, almost every Sunday, I use two verses of Scripture, one way or the other, in a sermon. I ask you if Hebrews 13:8 is true that says God, Jesus Christ, is the same yesterday, day of creation, today, November the 12th, or forever. And most of us believe that, don't we? All right, that means what he said never changes, right? All right, God, knowing how human nature was, when they went into the Holy Land, he knew they would do what America's done. In their prosperity, they would forget him. So he gave them the way to get back. He gave them the way to get back. And I use this almost every Sunday. If it was true, the day it was written is true today. Because God said it and it can't change. But 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, when your country has forgotten God and you've let prosperity cause you to drift away, here is the formula to bring you back. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways and seek my face. And look at, got to do all of those. Got to do all of those. He said, when you seek my face, then I'll hear from heaven, I'll forgive your sins, and I'll heal your land. You believe that? Please practice it with me. Please practice it with me. Because, ladies and gentlemen, we're in grave danger of losing what our founding fathers fought for. Now, I enjoy the prosperity in this land. God has blessed me to put two nickels together. You know, he's blessed me with a career in the military. And as long as you keep paying taxes and the government lasts, I'll get a check every month. But you know what I've discovered? The same thing Israel discovered. The more that God gives America, the more time we find to do something else than to be with him. To be with him. You want to know how many non-active church members our church has got? Almost as many as we got active. Now, what does that say? I'm going to deal with this in the evening message. I'm going to tell you what happened when Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom and what happened to him. America is beginning to pitch its tent towards Sodom. And I'll give you a little hint. It cost Lot, his family, his wife and his daughters. Probably, if his daughters were married, the son-in-laws. It cost him his position. It cost him everything. He left there with a shirt on his back. He pitched his tent toward prosperity. And it cost him everything. It cost him everything. If we don't wake up in America, my friend, if we don't wake up in America, we're going to be just like them. That's why God says, if I say something one time, it's forever. And if I say, if you will turn from your wicked ways, and you'll pray, and you'll seek my face, he says, I'll hear you. I'll hear from heaven. I'll not only hear from heaven, I'll forgive you for what you've done, and I'll restore your land. I want you to join me, and let's do that. Let's do that. Now, this morning, I have not preached an evangelistic sermon. My friend, I would like for you this morning just to consider your life and your family, your position, I'd like for you to consider the commitment you've made to the church. I'd like for you to consider what you're giving to the church of your life and your support. I mean, the last thing we need in this church is people that are not committed. We got plenty of those. We'll give you some. What we need is people to make a full, total, absolute commitment to the Lord Jesus. You expect those people on active duty out there right now in Afghanistan and Iraq and the other places that they can't even tell you where they are, you expect them to be faithful to their commitment that they raise their right hand and pledge to be committed even to death. Why shouldn't you be that committed to God while someone's doing it for you for liberty? So if you're here this morning and you have not made that kind of commitment, I would urge you, and when we pray this morning, to just tell God you're volunteering. You're going to be in His army. You're going to be in His military. And you're going to be a good soldier of the cross. You can do that in the pew. You can come up here and cover this altar. You can do it, but don't walk out of here expecting another freedom day in this land if you're not paying the price of talking to God about it. Why do I want Bergdahl shot? Because he deserted his commitment. What do we Baptists do? We get our names on the church roll. Maybe we walk through the baptismal pool. And that's all it means. That's all it means. We're just wet Baptists. God is looking for commitment. Commitment. You know, me and these guys that stood up this morning, we raised our right hands and we made a pledge with our right hand raised that we would fight our enemies, foreign and domestic, as long as we were on active duty. Why don't we make that kind of commitment to God? Why haven't we made that kind of commitment to God? Why do we expect to be free tomorrow if we can't be patriotic today? Or why do we expect God to bless us tomorrow if we're deserters today? So if you're here this morning, you've never made a commitment to God. We're going to have an invitation this morning. If you're here and you've made a commitment to God and you've fallen away from it, then I urge you to do what 2 Chronicles 7:14 says. Come back to Him. If you're here today and you need to make a commitment to God, do it on this 12th day of November, a memorable day. Only God knows what's in your heart. You stand with me right now for prayer. And after we pray, I'll stand down here, but you don't have to say a word to me. Because, see, my opinion doesn't count. But if you're here today and there's a commitment you need to make, would you please quit putting it off? Quit being a deserter and get in God's army and do it here today, would you? Our Heavenly Father, You know the needs of our hearts. You read every heart and every mind, and You know what's going on within us right now. We know that some are struggling with a decision, and others, Lord, are just waiting for the benediction. Have mercy on us, Lord. But to those who've heard Your voice, to those that have heard Your voice, we pray that Your will be done. For those of us that have kind of slipped away from You, we've been not reporting to duty. Lord, pull us back. Give us another chance. Put our feet back on the right path. Steer us in the right direction so that we can be the kind of people You would have us be. Lord, we've asked so much. But would You do it in this service for all of us? Is our prayer in Your holy name. Amen.